KMZU is Debbie.
Yeah, can I speak to Andy Campbell? I have a 11:30 Eastern
All
Time
right.
radio interview.
All right, just a second, please.
Thanks.
Also, their loved ones who are trying to communicate with them. Horizon Hearing offers confidential hearing screenings and consultations from a certified professional. Stop by Horizon Hearing with locations in Brookfield, Chillicothe, and Kirksville, or call 660-646-7110 and help someone you love enjoy more out of life.
The CEO of adultery website Ashley Madison is stepping down. The move comes in the wake of the massive...
This is Andy.
Hi, Andy. This is Dr. Keith Cantor.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
All right. Is it okay if I record this interview?
You sure can.
All right. Just for the record, if I could have you start off by stating your name and your title for me.
My name's Dr. Keith Cantor, and my title is I'm the CEO of NameProgram.com.
All right. Now, Dr. Cantor, today I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the issue of substance abuse in the United States. But to start things off, can you tell me a little bit about your program, the NAMED program?
Sure. What NAMED program is, first of all, NAMED stands for Nutritional Addiction Mitigation, Eating, and Drinking. That's why I call it NAMED, because nobody would remember that. And what we did, and I could go through all the scientific research, but at the beginning, at least in a nutshell, is what we did is we came up with specialized, patented, tested menus that don't stimulate the opiate receptors. And everybody has opiate receptors in their body. They're in your brain, your spinal cord, and your gastrointestinal tract. And what the opiate receptors do is when they're stimulated, they give the body urges. So it could be for alcohol, it could be for cocaine, it could be for prescription drugs. And when your body gets the urges, it doesn't know what that's for. But if you're used to taking cocaine, the body assumes that's what it's for. So what we try to do in conjunction with an addiction or a rehabilitation facility is give them these special diets and snacks to specifically not stimulate the opiate receptors, and by doing so in a controlled environment, they're also not getting the drug, which would obviously stimulate the opiate receptors. So then when they're ready to leave after a month or so, they have a much better chance of a successful withdrawal rate, and then we even let them follow through after they leave for free. I give them special codes so they could follow the menus if they want, and that lowers the relapse rate. And that's it in a nutshell. There's other parts of it, like we also get rid of the inflammation, which most people that are addicted have, which throws the insulin mechanism out of whack and gives us strong urges for sugar, which is one of the foods that stimulates the opiate receptors, and we drastically reduce that. But that's it in a one-minute elevator pitch.
Now, this may seem like a very broad or vague question, but it seems like to me there are so many different types of substance abuse. So if you can, kind of define substance abuse for me.
Okay, well, substance abuse, to me at least, and you're right, there's a lot of different definitions of it, but substance abuse to me is when you have to have a substance or it does things to you, meaning it puts you into withdrawal, it puts you in such a bad mood that it's causing problems, where it has a physical effect on you to not have that substance. To me, that's substance abuse. Now, you can look up Wikipedia and Merriam-Webster's dictionary and see different areas, but lots of things could be abused. You know, we know alcohol is a big one. We know that regular drugs like cocaine and heroin increased 400% in the last couple of years. So lots of things could be abused. We know prescription drugs could be abused. But there's some things, and I don't cover it with this program, although it would work, there's people that abuse foods. You know, and that could be substance abuse. And, you know, they become more than obese. So, but for this program, we're talking about drugs and alcohol, basically.
And with so many different types of substance abuse there, does there seem to be common reasons as far as why people might fall into it?
Well, taking the regular science, which is what I try to deal with, out of it, there's reasons people fall into it, you know, and it's the reasons that we sort of all know, problems with the family, peer pressure, you know, a death of a loved one, financial problems, all the things that cause depression, those are the things that lots of times throw people into a position where they feel like they need a substance to get out of it. And even people who don't have substance abuse are like that. How many times do you know somebody who said, oh, boy, I could use a good drink? But they're not an alcoholic. They have a drink once or twice a week. So for these people, it's usually something worse than just a bad day at work or a fight with a spouse or something, and it causes. And that's why I like using my program only in conjunction with a facility where it's a controlled environment, so they do have psychiatrists and they do have psychologists and they do have therapists. And I think that helps because I can take care of the science and I can make sure that their opiate receptors are not stimulated for a month. I could get rid of the inflammation, which will help their insulin mechanism, which helps with lots of things. You know, you have to raise the pH to do that because acidosis causes it, low pH. But that causes things like makes your arthritis worse, Crohn's disease, fibromyalgia. It also throws your insulin mechanism out of whack, which gives you a craving for sugar. You have the sugar and it stimulates the opiate receptors, and it's a vicious cycle. So I deal with the science, and I worked on it a long time. It took forever to get it patented and copyrighted and trademarked. And I do it very inexpensively because I want this to spread amongst the facilities. And it's starting to, you know, considering I have the patent a whopping July 6th, 6 weeks, we're doing pretty good.
Now, part of your program, it sounds like you really focus on, obviously you mentioned the signs there. How important is nutrition and just a healthy lifestyle to recovery from this type of illness?
I think it's very important because, and that's why I also have in my program some what I call amino acid therapy, which is like a jump start, where at the beginning, in a controlled environment, they would probably do it by injection and then eventually by pills. Because in most cases, people that are addicted to a substance, including alcohol or any drugs, are nutritionally deficient because they're spending their time getting the drug and eating junk food. So they're nutritionally deficient. And that does a lot of things to the body. And when you don't feel good, you want to do something to make you feel good. So even though this doesn't have to do with the opiate receptors, when somebody doesn't feel good, if you could take a drug and it makes you feel good, they'll do it. Well, if you're bad off nutritionally and it's making your bones hurt or your joints hurt or your fibromyalgia hurt or your Crohn's disease hurt, or it's giving you migraines and it's blocking your, you know, the pathways through the brain and all the other factors, you know, that inflammation could cause, and you could take some oxycodone and it gets rid of it, they'll do that. So people being healthy and living a healthy lifestyle really does help a lot. You just have to think about it. And for me, I want to do everything 100%. But now that I've been talking to the owners and the directors of the clinics, they say to me, well, could we still use your program and do it 95%? And my immediate answer is, well, why would you do that? And you have to look at the business aspect also of it. And they said, if we're going to lose 10% of our customers because they're not allowed to have dairy products, financially it won't work. So could we have a little of this? And you have to find the right balance. I want to never stimulate the opiate receptors, and I want to get rid of inflammation 100%, but if I have to do it 95% so the place could still be, you know, I don't know if profitable because a lot of them are non-profit, but at least functionally, business-wise, and increase the successful withdrawal rate and decrease the relapse rate, maybe not quite as high as I wanted, but pretty high, it's still a win-win, and that's what I strive for.
Now, I know that you mentioned a couple of times that relapse rate, and it is kind of high. Why
Not
do you
kind
think
of
that,
high. It's absurd.
And why do you think that is?
Okay, well, number one, in most cases, we're not getting to the reason why they started taking the drugs or alcohol to begin with. What's causing it? And that's why I say going to a facility is important, so you can deal with therapists and psychiatrists and psychologists to hopefully get to the root of the problem. So that's one reason. The other reason is what happens in most of the clinics, they do not take the drug or alcohol for, let's say, 30 days. But then as soon as they leave, they're putting in an environment now where the drug is available, and the whole time we kept their opiate receptors stimulated, and all we did was transfer it. So what happened is, okay, they're not taking cocaine, but they're scoffing down the sugar, which is keeping everything stimulated for them, and as soon as they leave, their opiate receptors stimulated, they still have the urges. They know they've been taking sugar. It's called transference. And now they go back to the cocaine or the oxycodone or whatever the case may be. And that's why I think it's so important to not stimulate the opiate receptors, because if we do, that's why the rate is only about 13-14%, depending on who you ask. In the United States, it may even be 10%. And the relapse rate is at least 85%. Now, I'm not going to get it to 100%, but I feel pretty confident I could get the success rate to the low 20s, which doesn't sound like much, but it's a heck of a lot better than the low teens. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. And I was going to say, and as you mentioned, your hope is to bring that relapse rate down. Go ahead.
The reason I know I'll get it down is, number one, we teach them and we explain it to them. And most of the people that are going to these places are intelligent enough to understand when you say, this is what's happening, this is why it's happening, this is what we're going to do. And when you leave, just go to In Recovery, click on that. I'll have it up in another few days. And we'll give you a code so you could still follow the recipes and any new developments and our blog and all that stuff. You could get to have a code just like you were in a clinic. Now, I know 100% of them aren't going to do that, but at the beginning, maybe 20-30% will do it, and then it'll end up 10-20%. But if I could keep 10-20% of the people to not relapse, that's better right now, because the relapse rate's over 85%. So, and I make it available to them, and I make it available to them for free, and I have it all there anyhow, so it's not like it's costing me a fortune to be nice and do that. But if, everybody has a wish list. What was that famous movie where the two old men had the wishes that they wanted to do before they passed away?
Oh, the bucket list?
Yeah, bucket list. Okay, on my bucket list is I want to be able to have me and this company increase the successful withdrawal rate and decrease the relapse rate of addicts in recovery. And that would be such a great legacy to be known by, because, you reach a certain age. I'm 60. I'm going to be 61 in October. What a great way for your grandkids, which I don't have yet, and great-grandkids to know about. You say, hey, that was my grandpa, and he increased the rate from 12% to 24% or whatever the real numbers are. Would that not be a great way to be known amongst your family? And
absolutely.
For that matter, everybody? And that's what we could do, and that's what I do all day, is just trying to explain the science. And everybody says the same thing to me. Your science is flawless. Well, it's pretty simple. If your opiate receptors aren't stimulated, you don't have any urges. If you don't have any urges, you don't take any drugs or alcohol. So, it's pretty simple. I have all the tests on the site. But they didn't do that because, they try other things. That's why I do it in a facility, so we could do more than just not stimulate the opiate receptors. And that's why I don't do it to just individuals that didn't go to a facility, because I think the success rate would be pretty darn low. But when I do it through a facility that has a controlled environment, then the success rate is much better.
Looking at the other end of things, with the science, have you kind of taken this and maybe applied it to preventative measures as well before people fall into substance abuse?
In theory, you can. If you live a healthy lifestyle And you follow the menus that I'm doing so you don't have inflammation, and you're eating the proper amount of nutrients, and if you need supplements and you're taking the supplements. Most of the time, people that are really into health and healthy living don't abuse your bodies with drugs or alcohol. Now, I was very fortunate. I have two children, and they were both always into health. So although they got into the usual mischief, you know, that kids get into, I never had to worry about drugs or excess alcohol because I knew they wouldn't do that because they're into health. And I think that goes with almost anybody. Not that there's not exceptions, but there's way less exceptions. If you're really healthy and you're into health and you're into working out and that's an important part of your life, you don't want to ruin that. So in that sense, living a healthy lifestyle, you know, has a great deal to do with it. But in terms of, like you said, just the science, if you eat this stuff and don't stimulate the opiate receptors, that's good. But that's not the reason that most people get addicted at the beginning or start taking or trying a drug or alcohol at the beginning. They're doing it because they have some other type of problem. And the science won't solve that until after the fact, unfortunately. Healthy living would avoid it, but the science can't do anything if somebody gets super depressed because a spouse or a loved one passed away. You know, no matter what your diet is, you still may possibly fall into depression and then fall into the relief of drugs or alcohol.
Well, Dr. Cantor, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. Is there anything else that you wanted to add?
No, but they could go to the site. There's a free week's worth of menus there so they could see what they are. It's called Named, NAMED program.com. And they could also go to my site, which is GR for doctor, Keith, Keith, Cantor, Cantor.com. And that, besides, through that, they could connect to Named. But on my site, the Dr. Cantor site, they could go to resources. And I have it for just about every major disease, special diets, like if you have Crohn's disease, if you have diabetes, etc. And all that is free.
All right, and I'll be sure to include that information as well in the online version of this so we can put links and things like that up to your website.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for having me, Andy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for taking the time to do this.
Oh, no problem. Thanks.
All right, you have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.